Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network. AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Walking Dead After Show here on AfterBuzz. You just love doing that,
really,
right?
Do.
Walker's typing on a computer. That's what you're doing.
It's our ritual.
That's your impersonation of a Walker typing. A Walker with an office job.
I can't stand to do like a shoulder, shoulder thing that they got going.
Oh, okay. Like the dragon.
Yeah, the dragon of the shoulder.
Welcome to the show. Dave Klein is out again for this week, but he should be back next week. I am your host. Your lead host for today, Nando Velasquez, and across from me, let's start across with Mr. Office Walker.
I am the Office Walker. Hi, I'm Dario Kristen. How you guys doing?
And I'm Joyce, and you guys can find me on Twitter at JAJOURI.
Yeah, what can we find you on Twitter, Dario?
You can find me at my name, Dario Kristen, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and on our sister site, Black Hollywood Live.
And when you type to him, please type.
And when you type
to Twitter, type like this.
Yes, except do it really slow.
With
really
the music
slow.
In the background.
Yeah, with the music in the background. And joining us again for week number two
in a row.
John Carl.
Hi, and at the John Carl on Twitter.
We had it wrong last week.
We apparently had it wrong on the lower,
John
on the lower thirds for those of you tuning in on YouTube or on AfterBuzzTV.com.
Yep.
We had it wrong on the lower thirds, but it's at the John Carl.
Yeah. With John Carl was probably pretty happy last week.
John Carl's probably really happy.
A lot of Twitter.
Absolutely. So let's get into this episode. So this episode, last week's episode was called Remember.
Yeah.
This week's episode is called Forget.
Yes.
And let me ask before we get into it, what were your thoughts about this? I mean, it's very interesting, and I guess the forget, we could talk about what we think forget means, but what are your impressions of this episode? I'm really curious to hear what everyone thinks about this.
Well,
overall.
Irony is that I thought last week should have been called Forget, and this one should have been called Remember, because it was reversed to me,
Totally.
I like this episode better than last week's, but even though this one, it stayed pretty steady, but I thought that it revealed a couple of good things, I mean, which we'll get into, but we see kind of the evolving and breakdown of Sasha, which I thought was interesting. And I also thought it was interesting with the fact of just how Rick and Daryl seem to change their viewpoint about this community. And that's what, and I think that's pretty interesting as well.
Yeah. I know you said, let's forget about what forget means, but I'm just going to say, I think the title of the episode kind of went along with how, Rick was in the party and he was looking around, and I think it was a moment for him to forget about what they were dealing with outside of those walls.
Yeah.
And just sort of to, just forgetting about all the crap they have to deal with if they're outside, and even, I forgot who said it in the episode today, but they were like, in here isn't so bad. And I think it was Abraham who said that. I don't know. No, Rick said
Rick said
that.
It. Rick said it to Jesse.
In here isn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this episode was just them sort of getting used to or finally sort of relaxing and just forgetting about everything that
I think when you get to that, the super awkward cocktail party,
so awkward.
Sasha's breakdown, I mean, that was, people weren't just, forgetting, to stay vigilant and stuff like that. There are people who forgot forgot that the outside world was what it was at that point. And that was like totally what I got out of the title is, you know, that's what you're worried about. And it's like, the world is garbage outside these walls right now.
Yeah, I think, I kind of agree with you. I think the forget really was for the people living in Alexandria for the most part.
That they already have forgotten.
They've already forgotten. Yeah. Or they're dealing to forget. They're just trying to put everything out of their minds. Yeah. I think that's a lot of that. And then also, I think even seeing, we'll talk more about it, but Daryl's change a little bit too.
Absolutely.
I agree with you, Joyce, on that too. But I thought this, overall, I thought this was a kind of a weird episode. This is like the third. I mean, there's a lot in here. Some of it awkward, but
a lot of it awkward.
But it's like the third slow episode. And I know they like to do slow episodes and fast ones and slow ones and more powerful ones. But it just, I guess maybe the added awkwardness of it, you know, maybe see a little bit more than just a couple of walkers taking down a horse as the big walker scene.
I was pretty upset about that.
And unfortunately, we've seen walkers take down a horse before. That's it's not like it was a new moment.
Not really a new moment. Although you know the whole scene with Daryl, we'll talk about that later. Daryl and Aaron, that was a good one too.
Yeah.
When Aaron was taken down. But let's start off with Sasha, because that's how this show opened up. And you talked a little bit about the meltdown, and we see it seems like Sasha still. You know, we saw her a couple of weeks ago when she seemed to have that death wish, and it seems like she still has a little bit of that. She didn't have she kind of has a job now, going out there and hunting.
Wants a different job.
She wants a different job, which we'll talk about that. But she's surrounded by pictures of loved ones from this house that she's staying in, and she ends up using that as target practice.
Yeah.
So I think that really screams a lot about what she's going through and how alone she feels.
Possibly. So. I thought it was a little strange that she felt the need to take the photos out there and shoot them and get rid of them. But I guess it's kind of like, what's the point? They don't live here anymore. Like, this is a family that isn't here, just like my family isn't here. And maybe it was her way of coping still with everything that she's been through with Tyrese being gone and stuff. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I also thought it was kind of like just her, like, reliving her trauma and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we saw even a shot of Tyrese when she was having that meltdown in the party, and she was hearing all those echoes and everything. There was that one shot of Tyrese being buried. So I think that definitely it's still a lot of residue there for her. And, you know, she even after she shot those pictures from a distance with her sniper rifle, she's like, come on, now, you know, I can't remember exactly what she said.
It was
come get me.
So she obviously still has some issues.
But here's my thing. Okay, so you know, we obviously, like we're saying, see Sasha break down, and I totally get it. But we're in Alexandria, and this is a place that it's a contrast, because this is a place of peace. And isn't that what they should really want, though? I mean, we can't forget what's on the other side of the gates, but when you have a moment to be able to actually relax and sleep, which they haven't been able to do in a while, don't you want to take charge of that and be able to do that, you know? And I feel like with Sasha, I feel like she's going rogue a little bit. You know, it's almost like when she was shooting the pictures, it almost seemed like she was trying to get walkers to come to her to make enough noise,
right,
or
to shoot in the glass and
to
stuff.
Shoot in the glass to, because she kept looking back, and I didn't know if she was looking back because she thought she heard something, which we found out she really didn't, it was in her mind, or was she trying to almost like pull the walkers, bring the chaos towards her, you know? But I'm like, that's such a irony, because where they're staying is, it seems like they actually can have a moment of peace.
You know? Well, every time they have had moments of peace in the past, it's always gone badly for them.
Yeah.
So I think for her, she doesn't want to forget that, because the second she does, then everything becomes complacent and then it all falls apart for her.
That's the danger of forgetting.
Yeah.
You start forgetting, you start getting soft. You start forgetting, and that's mentioned a couple of times. I believe Abraham kind of said that more or less in so many words to Michonne later on.
Yeah.
I also think that it was said today in the episode that by Aaron that he knows that Daryl wants to be out there. And I think Sasha's the same way. I think sometimes she just needs to be out there and just needs to, you know, not forget, you know, what it was like. And, you know, it's with the addition of, you know, her trauma and what she remembers and what she's dealing with, it's just she feels like that's how she's going to stay herself. And I was also thinking while I was watching this, like, is Sasha sort of like the new Daryl? I wonder, did we say that last episode?
She's like Daryl Michonne altogether. Because I felt like she was like the way Michonne tone was initially
real early on.
You know, she was very protective. She was very, her guard was never down, which we're almost seeing a different Michonne now, you know? And I feel like Sasha's kind of taking that place of what Michonne used to be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, interesting you say that because, well, first of all, Sasha, we saw her a couple of weeks ago. She was rushing the walkers and we see her more getting into trouble. But she, as you said, Joyce, she wants to do another job. Mm-hmm. She wants to be the lookout in the watchtower, and which keeps her away from everybody else because, again, I think she can't deal. She obviously can't deal with crowds based on her meltdown in the office party. You know, office party. I'm thinking office walker. At the dinner party when everyone's obviously just chatting about random stuff that doesn't really matter to her. So I think she wants to isolate herself. That's part of it. And obviously she wants to take down as many walkers as possible. But what's really interesting, and this is a very, 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 very minor thing from the comics that I'm going to bring up, and I think it's totally safe to say, so you can yell at me if you want. If you want to do a little minor spoiler.
They will. It's YouTube.
They will. It's YouTube. Yeah. Very minor spoiler. That in the comics, another character actually was considered the sniper and the sniper in the Watchtower, and that character is not on the TV show anymore. It was Andrea. So I feel like when you said that she's turning a little bit into Michonne and Daryl, I think there's a little bit of Andrea in there, too.
I agree with that.
So, which I find very, very interesting.
I mean, she has a good shot. Just I think Maggie said that. I can't remember who said things.
And just to be clear, this is like Andrea from the comics. This is like Andrea from the comic books, not the whiny Andrea we know from the TV show. Very different kind of Andrea.
The one that I cheered when she was killed.
Yes, exactly. The one John cheered for when she killed. She got killed. And then also, you know, I don't want to gloss over this little scene, but you know, Spencer, one of Deanna's sons, seemed to be flirting a little bit with her too in the beginning when at the party when she finally came in.
Please make that happen. I ship it. That he's played by Austin Nichols.
Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a little bit.
And also totally opposite personality of the other son,
too. Totally.
Yeah. You could not have two more polarly opposite children.
I was like, please be nice. Please don't be messing with Sasha right now. She's not in the mood.
She'll shoot you.
She
will kill you.
Good son, bad son. Yeah, it seems like we didn't get to see Aiden, thankfully, but we got to see Spencer. So he seems like an interesting character, even though we saw him for, three or four lines before Sasha moved on.
So
we see Sasha dealing with that in her own way. You know, I'm going to bring up Michonne really quick because I think that's another one that seems to be, and this one kind of, we were talking about this, the guys got to see it separately than the ladies, and you and Alexis in the booth. By the way, Alexis is also monitoring, hello Alexis, she's also monitoring YouTube for those of you who are tuning in live.
A lot of people are talking about how they don't want Daryl to die. That's the main
thing. We will get to Daryl.
We
would talk about that.
Yes.
There's a lot of other stuff people are saying about Daryl.
Yeah, a lot today about Daryl. Yeah. But we're saving that. That's called the cheese. But, you know, the Michonne Abe scene in particular was just kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see her playing around with her katana, even the little cocktail.
The little cocktail sword thing.
Yeah, even playing around with that. And that's when Abe gives the line about, you know, hopefully not forgetting how to use it or, you know, forgetting how to use it, but not forgetting how to use it.
Yeah.
I also thought it was weird how he asked her, what have you done?
Yeah.
His tone was a little off-putting to me. Like, I wasn't sure if he was, you know, just drunk or if he was trying to be condescending. Like, I couldn't understand that whole vibe between the two of them.
Well, I feel like there's something missing, too, because, you know, we haven't seen what's happened with Abraham since they've come in there. So has he been acclimating? Has he been doing stuff to stay vigilant and all that?
That's true.
And we have no idea. Hmm. So it feels like that comment feels a little out of left field because we don't have context on it.
Yeah, I agree. But we were even talking about it was a weird sexual tension between the two.
Yeah.
Because even just some of the references that they were saying, he was like, I'm a large man.
Yeah.
She's like, how many drinks have you had? And then it was like this weird kind of...
You're on top, you're on your back.
Some reference to these just really subtle kind of sexual innuendos. So it was kind of like,
what's happening here? What's going on?
Yeah, it was weird a little bit.
And not to mention the fact that, you know, I noticed this when we saw Abe and Rosita walking in, like her two lines for the episode, we kind of saw, she kind of had a bit of a grimace on her face.
Yeah.
She kind of looked like she was in a bad mood. So, which, you know, we know they had a relationship on the road because we saw Eugene watching them have sex. But, so that also kind of adds to what's going on with Abe. Is he, is he looking elsewhere? Well, is there something up with him and Rosita?
I wonder if that was their brief way of showing us just Rosita's, like attitude so far. Like with Abraham, we haven't seen what she's been going through necessarily since coming here. So maybe it was just their way of being like, okay, well, she's also a little hesitant and a little weary.
Yeah.
But maybe something happened between her and Abe after the whole Eugene thing. So
can we just go back to the point that when we were watching that, I made, there's so much booze left over right now. And as far into this apocalypse of zombies and walkers and stuff like that, there is so much booze left in there, and they're drinking a lot of it.
It's a good thing Bob's not around anymore, because that would have been gone.
But still, if I was going through that, that supply for myself would have been gone in like 3 weeks.
Well, I would assume Deanna being a politician.
Yeah, no, the chocolate's okay.
I would assume Deanna being a politician knows the value of having some good liquor for negotiations, for the right moments. So I think she shows a lot more willpower than the normal person would. That's my guess. Either that, or it's probably super watered down at this point, because they're trying to save it for as long as possible.
It's like when you're 16 and you're going into your parents' liquor cabinet. It's like, oh, vodka and water. That's the same thing. Nobody will ever notice.
Exactly. Yeah, right. So, very interesting. But anyway, so a little oddness with Michonne, and also that windbreaker. She had the uniform on, which was really weird.
She customized her own, by the way.
I guess she cut that. I guess she sliced it and tied it together.
That's a nice trendy jacket.
It's like a nice yellow stripe in the back. That was kind of weird.
She still gave it the Michonne flavor.
But I thought that was kind of an interesting uniform for her, because I guess she's kind of a nonconformist, like Daryl, for example. Seeing Daryl in a uniform would be really freaky, and I think Michonne's kind of like that too.
Yeah, she had the tie on and everything. Yeah. She just went for it.
Really weird for her, but I think I mentioned this last week, where I think she really wants to try and make this work, and she'll do anything, even following the rules and doing her job perfectly and hanging up her katana. And this is something that's going to come into play when her and Rick possibly butt heads. So she's really into the whole, this is it. Like, this is where we're going to settle down thing. Yeah.
But the jury's still out a little bit on what's going on with her for me, as far as me being the jury. That's a little bit weird.
She's a little more confused than she's letting on.
Yeah, I'm guessing we'll find out more and more what's going on. But even, like I said, that scene with Abe where he's like, what have you done? Mm-hmm. I put on a dress, try again. That whole, that was just a little weird to me. So if anyone has any ideas, feel free to
tell us where we're
tell us on YouTube. Yeah, tell us tell us what they think, because maybe we missed something on that one, but we played it
what
back.
What you guys are saying also is it's really interesting that they're showing that Rick and Carol and Michonne, they're all kind of forming into these outfits and traditional things, but Daryl's still... He's like the wild card.
He's not putting on a facade for anybody.
Well, let's talk about the trio. Because, first of all, I'm surprised that Michonne's not in on this little group meeting that was at the beginning of the show between Rick, Carol, and Daryl outside. And obviously they're having a plan to open up the armory, break into the armory. Carol being invisible. I love her line. I get to be invisible again.
Yeah.
So she gets to be invisible and leave the door unlocked and then or the window unlocked. And they get to sneak in and take some guns. And Daryl's in on this plan, which I think is also kind of interesting, considering he's the one that's not really conforming to Alexandra. He's the one that's being watched all the time, as Rick says later on, because of the way he's acting.
Yeah.
So, very interesting. So they have this little trio. They're obviously vigilant, and they're being cautious, and they're being careful. And, again, the three of them are kind of... It's great, because if this was like the game of Survivor, the TV show, it's not obvious they're in an alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've positioned themselves in three different areas, which is great. They all know each other, but they're not buddy-buddy unless they're outside the wall.
Yeah. Well, it actually makes sense that Michonne isn't in that group to me, because, as much as Rick and Carol and Daryl all trust her, they know she's the one that pushed so hard a few episodes ago to actually come to Alexandria.
That's true.
And she's not about to mess that up by breaking away from the role that she's
And then getting
given.
Kicked out or something.
Getting kicked out, exactly.
And she's already kind of butted heads with Rick on some of these things.
I think
so
a little bit,
better that Rick keeps her out of the brain trust right there between those three.
Yeah.
So we have that, and then when the group splits up, Daryl ends up meeting up with Aaron. So let's get into this, because there's a lot here, and there's a lot that's been talked about, and we haven't really touched upon some of the stuff from the past year, all the rumors and everything, but I was looking at a lot of news stories today when the East Coast feed came out, even beforehand, just talking about this, and Daryl was on Conan this week also even talking about this whole thing, because here we go, Aaron, who we talked about, is the first male gay character, not the first gay character, because Tara is, as
because people corrected me when I said that a couple of weeks ago. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
And
we've seen so little of Tara.
I know.
I forgot her backstory.
Yeah, I know. That's partly why I think I forgot myself. Anyway, so we see Aaron, who we were, you know, they were announcing as the first male gay character. But there have been all these rumors in the past year or so that Daryl, you know, we haven't seen any interest, male or female, from Daryl. And there was a rumor that Daryl was actually gay.
Right.
And, you know, as this episode, as people were finding out what this episode was about and the fact that he was going to spend all this time with Aaron, these rumors this week have totally skyrocketed back up. So, you know, very interesting pairing. What do you guys think about this whole, what do you think about the whole Aaron Daryl part of this episode?
Well, I like their friendship, or their forming friendship, because like Aaron said, just like you, I was, you know, watched or looked at differently, or people weren't feared.
Exactly. Flat out feared.
That's what he was saying. He was saying he was feared and people feared him, different people feared him for, you know, different reasons, or I can't remember exactly what he said.
But they were still scared regardless.
They were still scared, and it was coming from the nicest people that you wouldn't expect that kind of attitude from. So that's kind of like Daryl, and that ties in with what he said to Daryl, like, you know, you're the person that could see the difference between good people and bad people. I kind of like their friendship forming, and like I was telling you guys before, there were rumors last year about people thinking that Daryl was going to be the gay character on the show when they were announcing that there was going to be one. But it turns out it's Aaron, and I like how their dinner together, the three of them, was probably the writer's nod to, like, hey, we've heard your guys' rumors. Into the scene with you, so it's like...
And especially when they said to Daryl that they had basically a question for him, you know, something that they wanted him to do, which we found out later what that was. But, you know, we all had our little jokes in the room when we were watching the show. But, you know, it is interesting to see how they played that dynamic. But I think that I kind of agree with you. I do like the formation of the relationship with them, because especially with Aaron saying, hey, you know, listen, this is what we need you to do. This is what I'm asking you of, you know. So I thought that was a pretty cool scene, actually, overall. Yeah. So
I loved Aaron's line when he was talking about the fact that they're all outsiders, that Eric and Aaron are thought of outsiders just like Daryl is. But he also said, you know, differently, you know, down here. And you gotta forget, well, it's not really the South, I guess. It's South-ish.
South-ish.
You still gotta think that there still is perhaps a little, you know, it's a lifestyle down there. They're probably
not
still
as progressive
as an urban city would be, as a New York or San Francisco or LA, for example.
Especially if all those people, you know, originated from that region, that area.
But I loved his line. He said, the more afraid people are, the more stupid they are, too.
Yeah.
He kind of said that right there, too, which I thought was a really, really good line.
Well, that's a theme for, like, the entire show. Because early on, before people adjusted to it, people were dying rapid fire. Now, you know, there's still a fear, but it's now a cautionary fear rather than we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So people are living longer, too.
I totally love that line. And I love the whole adventure that they had going after Buttons the horse.
Poor Buttons.
And I loved, you know, Aaron looked like he was a goner for a second. He did that slice.
That was the walker
kill of the week. Yeah. You know, Nicotero always tries to do something fancy. That was really awesome to see see Aaron slice that walker really close to his leg. I thought he almost amputated himself.
Yeah.
And then seeing Daryl bash that one walker, the female walker, into the other walker, kill them both that. I thought that was a really, really interesting scene. But I love the whole adventure of the two of them. But I think for me, a lot of it, I think ultimately what it comes down to is Daryl's just, you know, he's like the redneck, you know, and if anything, rednecks, not necessarily, are usually thought of as close-minded. So I just think it's just the opposites of Daryl with, especially when they were at dinner. I thought that was a really, really big scene. Seeing Daryl just eating with his hand, just like all chowing down.
And Aaron, you see him correct himself, though? Because at first he wiped it with his mouth, and then he thought about it, and then he picked up a napkin to wipe his mouth right after.
I totally missed that.
That's what's cool, because we saw the difference of Daryl and Merle. You know, Merle was so opposite from Daryl. But Daryl seems like he still has some kind of
is couth about him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he really does. You know, like, he still is trying to figure it all out, and he's not trying to fall into the total redneckness that he is, you know?
I'm glad to see their relationship forming, like we've been saying before, and to see that they have some sort of commonality. Like, I would never expect Aaron and Daryl to be the two to become, you know, better friends than he would be with anybody else now in this
And
season.
I don't think Aaron, I think Aaron has a great relationship with Eric. We commented on that when we saw them for the first time, and I can't see Aaron really breaking that relationship to be with Daryl. And we joked about a menage a trois, but I don't see that happening.
We're going
to
get some.
If anything,
from me saying that,
people in the chat world that are thinking that would be really funny if they, or that there's going to be a threesome between Eric and Daryl.
We joked about it ourselves.
Yeah, no, no. People in the chat brought it up.
It's a great possibility, like, it's such a good possibility, but I would still be surprised if it actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell of a twist.
I do have to give credit to my buddy Jonathan London from Geekscape, who said if that actually happens, that Daryl comes out as gay, there are going to be so many angry people that go to Hot Topic just because of that.
Oh, absolutely.
I got to give John credit for that.
Yeah, I love Jonathan.
And I just got to throw this in. I was really disappointed about it. The only disappointment I had was the horse dying and the walkers pulling out the guts so quickly. Because it was like two bites, and all of a sudden you saw them ripping out the intestines of the horse. I'm like, I don't know if that's realistic.
They were
horses got some tough meat on them. Well, the first, pull out, like,
the horse from the first season, it took them a while to rip that thing apart.
It seemed like it took them a while.
Yeah.
Are they trying to show us that they're getting stronger, or that maybe they're, like, evolving somehow?
Because I think they just rushed a scene to be honest.
I think they rushed a scene.
It's so easy to break their arm or to bash their head in with your foot, and then to have their teeth, like, withstand horse flesh. I was like, what?
I'm willing to dismiss that a little bit. Maybe they're just extra hungry or something. But I will say this about Buttons that I thought was interesting. Buttons was pretty damn meaty. Like, he was a pretty healthy horse.
He was a healthy horse.
Considering how long they've been out there.
He had the whole field to himself.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff for it to eat out there.
You know? I guess that's true, but I just thought he was,
literally, like, we saw the walker go down, and, like, two seconds later, the walker was pulling out his intestines. I was like, that's a hell of a bite right there. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about the gift that that Aaron pretty much gave Daryl, showing him all the motorcycle equipment and saying he told Deanna not to give him a job. He's the reason why Daryl didn't know what job he had yet, because Aaron wanted to be the one to tell him, because he wants Aaron to be his second. Daryl to be his second out in the field when they are recruiting, because Daryl knows how to handle himself a lot better than Eric does, as we saw. Eric doesn't seem like he really can handle himself out there in the world, and also because Daryl can tell the difference between good people and bad people.
But that also tied into, like, the seclusion that happens within that community, because you notice that those two were not at the cocktail party, so that's probably why when one was chosen to go out to find people, the other just by default became his partner. Now if you have, you know, a third outsider that's in there, you could get somebody who's more qualified, and the other guy is going to be home by himself probably, but at least they have a better shot of not getting killed for it.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
And anyone would want Daryl on their side.
Yeah.
Doing anything.
But I think that was a big show of faith, considering last week we saw how outside Daryl felt from everybody, and to see, you know, him bonding with Aaron and get that, I thought it was a big gift to Daryl. And we saw that he changed at the end of the episode when he met up again with Carol and Rick, and he changed his mind about the guns. He said he didn't need them, you know, and he seemed to soften about that.
No, you're right. Yeah.
So I think that says a lot about Daryl. He's not going to shave anytime soon, or shower maybe.
Not at all.
But or change any way how he looks. No cardigan sweaters. That'd be really awesome to see him, like, try and assimilate.
No.
I didn't really have news and gossip for today. I was just going to say, to check the Conan interview out, because he talks about the whole gay rumor and says about how some guys are kind of, like, awkwardly talking to him about it, and the women are like, I hope you're not. but Norman Reedus said if he was gay, he would rock it. That's what he said.
Norman could rock anything.
He said he would totally rock
excellent
that role.
Actor, so
as a gay character, he would look forward to it. But, you know, based on what he even said in the Conan interview, it sounded pretty much like it's far-fetched. Yeah, it's far-fetched for now.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't see how at this point it would help or hurt the the plot of whatever.
It doesn't. It doesn't add anything to it.
It doesn't add anything to it.
Although
it would explain some things.
Yeah.
You know, because there's always been that tension with him and Carol initially, like that kind of sexual tension.
Yeah.
And then also, even with Beth, it was like that awkward kind of couple scenes.
Yeah, but there was also that like awkward age difference with both of them, because Carol feels like the mom type character,
right,
and Daryl feels like your pain in the ass younger brother.
Right.
And then, you know, Beth was all the way at the opposite end of the spectrum, that it would have been like really creepy and sick had he gone for it. So.
Right.
I could let those two go. Right.
Although it would be really
it's not like somebody's throwing herself at him either.
If something was to happen at this point, like Daryl and Aaron go out there recruiting people and they end up falling in love, it would be so Brokeback Mountain, it would just be ridiculous.
Yeah. No, there are no horses so left, though.
That's no horses, so forget that.
No horses.
Forget that.
good point, John.
We'll talk more about I know there's more to talk about with Daryl based on what Alexis already said. We'll talk about that a little bit later, closer to predictions. But let's talk about the welcome dinner that Deanna set up. We talked a little bit about it already in relationship to Sasha's meltdown, to Michonne, but this was Deanna's opportunity to have everybody, except for Daryl, everybody.
And Gabriel.
Oh, yeah, we didn't see Gabriel at all.
And Eugene.
And also with the kids, Carl was there with the kids, but Enid wasn't there.
Yeah.
And that
stood out to me.
Enid was not there.
Well, we didn't get to see the whole, you know, it's chances are they were still in there, but they just, for some reason, didn't get screen time, or they got cut on the cutting room floor, or whatever, so we can assume they were possibly there.
They didn't want to pay for it at the
outset. We just know who wasn't there based on the shots that we saw who wasn't there, which is Daryl, Aaron, and Eric.
Right.
But anyway, Deanna's throwing this dinner, and obviously they're all talking up Rick. Deanna's husband's totally, you know, boosting Rick's ego, and this is also the opportunity for Carol to eventually sneak out. We'll talk more about her sneaking out to the armory. So, very interesting dinner.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously it's very society, like a society type of thing. Yeah. You know, they had the good liquor out and cookies and all sorts of stuff going on.
She apparently didn't make enough of them, though.
She apparently
didn't make enough of them.
But also, Rick gets to formally meet Jesse's husband, Pete.
Mr. Dark Smoker guy from last week.
Yeah.
It was so weird to see the contrast of his attitude.
If anyone was an X-Files fan,
Smoking Man.
Yeah, the Smoking Man.
It was a really interesting, different dynamic from last week.
It's like he didn't even act like he remembers seeing Rick before.
I don't know. He turned on the drop of a dime right at the end of that interaction.
Not towards Rick. Yeah. I didn't see anything like that coming from him. But I thought that interaction was so bizarre. And I was reading an article last week after last week's episode. Mm-hmm. They had a couple more scenes last week with Jesse's husband on the porch that they cut out.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, like, if there was anything that we were supposed to see initially that we didn't in terms of, like, their interaction while Rick was walking past him. But, yeah, I just thought their interaction today was so bizarre.
Yeah, it was very, and he seemed really friendly, and we found out that he is a doctor for Alexandria.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I thought was really interesting was the whole time that we met Pete with Jesse. Jesse had her arms in a very closed position, closed off.
Very closed.
And when he left, he kind of did this, I can't remember exactly what it was, but there was this move that he did that I think kind of like for a second I could tell Jesse shrugged it off.
He stepped in to grab the glass from Rick. That was what stood out to me, is like, you can easily say, you know, give me your glass, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But he stepped in and he got in there really close on him for that one.
Like establishing his dominance.
Yeah. It was a total like alpha male at the bar move.
He's like, I got this. Like, I will get the refills.
Yeah. I thought that was
Well, that didn't work to his advantage in the end. So.
No.
Well, he doesn't know yet. But yeah, very very interesting to see a different side of Pete, but to also see that little bit of fear. And obviously, it seems like Jesse's not too proud of the doctor.
No.
And it was really really touching scene with her and Rick. Very flirty.
Yeah.
A lot of flirting in this scene.
It was a very sweet scene.
And Rick got to plant one on Jesse when he was trying to grab Judy from her.
So cute.
It was a nice little innocent, like, Love Actually.
Yeah.
I liked it like that, the Love Actually look.
I love that you mentioned. Yep. I love that all the references you had, it was Love Actually. I wouldn't expect that from you, Amanda. That was great.
I got a heart, man.
You're a sensitive guy. I like that.
I have a sensitive side.
I love seeing the side of Rick come out. I mean, I didn't even see it with Lori just because they were in the thick of everything in the beginning of the show. Like,
she also cheated on him, to be fair.
She also cheated on him.
He still doesn't know who the baby Steve's father is.
That's true.
Yeah, thank God there aren't paternity tests anymore.
Thank God, no more Povega, zombie apocalypse.
It touched me in a way that The Walking Dead hasn't really in a long time. Like, just to see Rick with that interaction with Jesse and there's, like, hope for some sort of romance, but there's still that thing in the background. That thing is her husband, and, like...
I thought that was really risky. Like, that's a... It's a pretty public party, and there's only so much room in that house. It's like, even if he's not going to see it, somebody could have walked through that doorway and easily seen that.
I'd
be like, did you see what Rick just did with your wife? Like, whether or not they kissed on the lips, there was still an affectionate move.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of trust on Rick. Like he said earlier, and I mentioned this, they're watching Daryl's every move, but Rick seems to, you know, Rick and Michonne, they seem to be trusted.
He's the constable. Why wouldn't he? I also feel like maybe, I'm not saying Rick kissed her on the cheek to provoke any sort of, fight or anything, but had Pete maybe walked in and seen it, I think Rick would have been the one to be like, what? Like, I will take you down.
Possibly, because Rick kind of has a little bit of that attitude going on.
I mean, we saw that in the end a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I also find it interesting, too. It's like, I mean, yes, you know, like the women in his group, right? We haven't really seen Rick go for the women in his group. But yet he comes to this Alexandria where maybe it's because she symbolizes some type of normalcy. But he seems to let his guard down and go in for her. But yet he hasn't tried anything with any of the women in his group, and you know there's plenty of needs during the zombie apocalypse that are going
on.
We're having a hard time with zombie apocalypse today. What the hell?
We kind of thought we saw a relationship brewing with him and Michonne a little bit, starting to.
But still, it didn't go to any realm.
But there's also every single other one of the girls, aside from like Rosita, at least had some sort of interaction with his wife. So it would be weird drunk from one to the other.
Tara.
This is some. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is a totally new group, so he doesn't have that same connection. And then, like what you pointed out last week, there was the things that she did for him already that Carol used to do for Rick, like cutting his hair.
Exactly. That type of thing. So it symbolizes something that he remembers, and it's more calming for him. Mm-hmm. More normalcy, I feel like. More normalcy. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, really interesting to see where this relationship with him and Jesse go. We also get to see Sam interact with Rick and Jesse. And Sam, really interesting, we passed over this in the beginning, but we'll bring this up in relationship to this. Sam brands Rick's hand, the back of his hand, with a big red A.
Did anybody else think of like a scarlet letter kind of thing?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
I totally thought that.
There's a little bit of that going on.
And the W
one of us.
The forehead of the...
But yeah, we passed that in the very beginning when they were having the meeting of
the first meeting
of the three. Carol, Daryl, and Rick, and they took down that walker. There was a big W on top of the forehead, and
very Inglorious Bastard style too.
Yeah.
It was carved
very
in there.
Yeah.
It looked very similar to that stamp in a way.
Yeah,
and I was thinking it probably stood for wolves. Because we still haven't really figured out what the wolf thing is. Of course, Walker is a very another one I saw people talking about online.
Calls him Walker.
Yeah, different groups were having different names for him.
Yeah, so it probably isn't Walkers, but there's a reason for that W. Or the other thing I could think of is that's one of the three that was exiled. And maybe that's how they marked that person.
Maybe. Yeah.
That could be.
Did anybody else just think that kid was just a total jerk for using a permanent stamp? Because the next day, Rick couldn't get it off his hand. Yeah. He's walking around with it there.
It's like when you go to those clubs, and you have to go to work the next day, and you're like, oh, man, you're trying to hide your hand.
Yeah. Those are called sin marks.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
Which Rick almost committed, kissing Jesse on the cheek.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a little bit of an adultery thing going on. Like you said, the scarlet letter. I mean, here he is flirting with Jesse. And he gets a little mark from the kid. So that might be something there, too. A little red A. So really curious.
That kid has other stuff to worry about, though.
Yeah, he has care. Let's talk about that.
That scene so much. Mm. It was so funny to me. That poor kid did not expect... He expected cookies walking
through.
Yeah,
he thought he was going to get,
bribed. But no, he got like a death threat.
But not just that. It wasn't like Carol being angry at the boy.
No,
it
was very calm.
It was way too chill.
Yeah. It was a loving tone. The whole thing was like, oh, honey, if you tell
one.
Follow my advice. I'm trying to help you.
I know which of these two you should do.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't tell anyone, then you'll get cookies.
You'll get tied to a tree. The monsters will come.
Yes, and the monsters far, far away.
The monsters will come.
Lucky for her, that kid is naive enough about the outside world that cookies is the only thing that will like incentivize him to shut the hell up.
I don't know. Not being tied to a tree would incentivize me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he understands. I mean, yeah, that obviously is very scary. Yeah. But, I mean, if cookies is all it takes for him to just, you know, not tell his mom, that's very telling of the kind of person he is.
I thought she was actually going to say something in reference to, like, I'll kill your parents. You know, like, that's what I thought she was going to, like, reference, like, your family will die.
I did think it was interesting that she also, when she went in there, she grabbed a piece of the chocolate, too.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's going to come back and haunt them because they're very tight about inventory. Like,
Olivia seems really tight about inventory.
And when she grabbed the first piece, there was a dry erase board or a chalkboard or something that had the number of chocolate bars and actually said, like, chocolate 8 or something like that.
That would suck if she got taken down because of that.
I feel like that is going to happen. I totally think that's going to happen.
You know, I agree.
Like, maybe Olivia has some clout in the community where what she says goes. Like, maybe she's been there long enough or she's proven herself enough.
That if she says the numbers are off, something's up.
She controls the inventory. I mean, I feel like, you know, we saw that a little bit in the hospital where they owned pretty much everybody by what they were allowed to take from the hospital.
Yeah.
So I could see that being a very valuable position. I do think we didn't really get to talk about Olivia. We didn't see too much of her in this episode, but I think she's probably going to be someone that's going to have a bigger role in the coming weeks.
So by the way, what's the obsession with the spaghetti maker? Like, two separate characters brought that up, and
I was
like,
pasta maker. Yeah. Who was it? Miss Neuberger?
Neuberger, I think, something like that. I didn't write that one down.
Norsenberg,
but it was a cute thing. Yeah, Spencer talked about it with Sasha. Don't get caught by her, and then Eric brought it up.
She'll keep you in conversation about a pasta.
And we have all this dried pasta that we can use, but she wants to make her own.
It's not even an Italian last name. Come on.
Not at all.
That bothers me, being half Italian.
I don't know.
That's a little odd. So, I'm trying to think. Hey, Alexa,
the pasta doesn't
anything
even matter if the sauce isn't good. Like, that's a personal thing that's going to bother me.
Alexa, is there anything interesting from the comments as well? I mean, we'll talk about the whole people, you know, getting worried about Daryl thing, but...
Well, no, it's pretty much just going with what topic we've been talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Have we been told we're wrong about anything yet?
Not that I'm noticing.
Really? This is the internet. We should be.
I know. No, they're fine. It's mostly just there's a few spoiler alerts in here, so I'm not gonna...
Let's not read the spoiler alerts.
Yeah. Of course not. Yeah. A lot of people are saying Carol turned into the Cookie Monster.
Cute.
I don't know.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty much the same. And
somebody please have that meme already.
And their predictions for what the W stands for.
Awesome. All right,
well,
cool.
We do have the Easter egg at the end that we spotted.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that, because that was a really weird song at the very end.
Yeah,
and that
the
little scene with Rick, you know, and the walker on the other side of the wall.
Like, almost touching hands.
It was kind of touching. It was almost like a lovey type thing. And the lyrics, I didn't write down the lyrics, but the name of the song at the very end was Spicks and Specks.
Spicks and Specks.
Which is a Puerto Rican, I find out, offensive, even though it wasn't that kind of thing.
Specs is a usually offensive word.
Yes, it's a very offensive word. and the lyrics were something like, the sun won't shine, we'll be dead, or something, looking for the girl.
Where's the sun that shone on my head?
It is dead.
Yeah. And it was very echoey, too, which I think it goes in with the whole forget thing, like you start forgetting things.
Yeah.
Right.
But when we saw, we actually played that back a couple
of times.
Because
we missed the words.
Yeah, we actually played that back a couple of times, and when we were looking at the words, we noticed in the background, as Rick is walking toward the wall, there's a street sign that says Morgan Drive.
Yeah. And it was super, super clear. It was totally intentional that it was there.
So, I think we pretty much talked about everything else, and I think this totally leads us right now into predictions.
Yep.
Let's do it.
That's what I would say.
Nice.
That still freaks me out.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Yeah, so... who wants to go first? How about that? I think obviously that's a foreshadowing of maybe even next week.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe even next week, I think.
I think the wall's going to play a bigger role. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds kind of weird, but we met Reg. We met Deanna's husband, who we were wondering if he was still alive or not last week. And I wonder if him and Rick are going to be at odds about, you know, reinforcing the wall or making it stronger, making it a little better. I know that, that Reg said it's just a wall. Like, you know, maybe it's not as secure as he's leading everyone.
We talked about the support beams. And there were a lot of comments on YouTube last week on our show about the support beams seeing Enid walking, going up.
It's so easy to get in. Like, it's actually one of the worst walls you could have for non-walkers, because you're giving them tons and tons of climbing material. It's actually easier to get in than it is to get out.
And I think people in this community don't understand that people are the real threats right now. Like,
They have no idea.
They have no idea.
It keeps reminding them.
Deanna's kind of in denial about it, and I'm sure Reg is probably not even thinking about it. But yeah, that's what I think.
Okay. She stole my prediction.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. That's okay. I was going to kind of say that the entire episode was based off of the parallel of life and death, and even, like we were saying, Sasha saying her point about, you know, we're so caught up in this moment here that we're not remembering what's on the other side of that wall, basically. And then the end scene with Rick and the walker and the Bee Gees song playing. I feel like that's going to play a heavy part in the next week, and we're going to have some walkers that come through that wall, and I think that we're going to lose Eugene. That's what I think.
Oh, okay, interesting. No, Alex, she literally stole my prediction. Okay.
Let me throw this on the table. We don't have much time, but I want to definitely throw this, because there's been a lot of talk recently about Daryl. And Norman Reed has also been interviewed this week. He's been in L.A. doing interviews, and he said some stuff about somebody in Alexandria doesn't seem, you know, it doesn't appear what they seem to be. And he was on Entertainment Tonight. Someone asked about the finale, and he said it's going to be, you're going to cry your eyes off, and you're going to be yelling at your TV.
Oh, good.
So there's a lot of rumors right now about Daryl. So
Daryl dies, we riot.
Riot?
I don't think Daryl's going to be next week, though.
Okay.
No, I could see Daryl leaving, and then he's some sort of the tie into the spinoff show or something like that. But they cannot kill that character off.
Yeah,
that's.
I would hate to see that, but
it's
I
like killing Captain America.
I definitely feel like there's a.
They like killing off major players.
Yeah,
so.
And it's been a while since they killed off a major player.
But it's not Game of Thrones. They're not going to kill the one you don't suspect.
They can't Game of Thrones us. They can't.
Okay. Well, Alexis, what was that you said there?
It was predictions in the chat roll. Just to say it before we leave.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of people are saying that it's not a W, it's an M for Morgan. And I completely agree that maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe they're branding their zombie.
Because
the walkers.
I have to look at that again. Maybe it was upside down.
Yeah,
upside
down.
I mean, I don't know. That's what a lot of people are saying.
Really? I mean, if the zombie, if the walker's vertical, that was definitely a W. So unless he's carving it inverted, that'd just be really weird.
That's just what everyone's saying. They're just saying Morgan is always looming. That's what they're. That makes sense.
Especially considering the Morgan Drive thing at the end. Yeah, that could be another little sign of that. But I feel like there's an association between that and the A too. That's just weird.
It was too close.
Similar. Yeah. But I like that. Thank you, guys.
And we have to acknowledge the three cuss words for the... this is the most cuss words I feel like they've had on the episode.
And two were BSs. They don't usually
BSs
say BS.
One shits.
Guys, I see you got to get it out there.
Guys, before we go...
Add a Z to it to make it sound better.
Right before we sign off, I didn't get to mention iTunes and YouTube. Please comment on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. Comment on YouTube. We'd love to see your comments.
Push that like button.
We get a lot... Yeah, push the like button. We get some. We get dislikes sometimes even before we start the show. I'm wondering why, but whatever. There's a lot. Maybe because we're late. But we really want to hear the positive comments, man. In particular, if you really like the show, let us know. You know, don't just assume we know that, because then the negative people win. And on iTunes as well, please rate us. Give us. We'd love to get 5 stars if you really like us. Yeah,
reviews too. Positive reviews.
We'd love to read that stuff. Yep. And we're on SoundCloud too. We're on a bunch of stuff. Yep. And of course, there are 97 shows. I think over 97 now on AfterBuzz. So feel free to tune in all those while you're listening to Walking Dead. Guys, where can we find you on social media during the week?
At Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. That's DerrialChriston. And find me at Black Hollywood Live as well.
Cool. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JAJOURI. On the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Tuesday Night podcast and Shameless on Sunday nights and Gotham on Monday nights.
At the John Carl on Twitter and Instagram, THEJOHNCARLE. And of course, my YouTube channel is Whiskey and Waffles.
Nice. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nandovel, NANDOVEL. You can find me here on AfterBuzz on a bunch of shows. And I'm not going to say them all because then people like, you do too many shows. And also, hey, you know what?
We're kicking you off next week.
Kicking me off?
Sorry.
Okay. I'm running the LA Marathon this Sunday.
Oh,
a week
awesome.
From so.
Nice.
So I'm going to bring the medal in, hopefully, if I make it. So
that's
I'll be
amazing.
Able to outrun walkers for 26 miles. but yeah, but you know what? Tweet at me on
I'd
Sunday.
Still be running.
Tweet at me, Instagram, whatever. Give me some props. I'm going to talk about it and I'll bring the medal
good
in next
luck,
week.
Amanda.
Yeah.
So you'll still be here with us.
If I can walk after that. Yeah, yes, right. I will.
You're a walker.
Anyway, guys, thank you. I'm a walker, apparently.
I refuse to do that.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Tune in next week for another episode. And Dave Klein will be back too. Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.